Good evening, everyone. Could you please stand for the flag salute? Councillor Akeley?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Julie, could you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Onslow?
Here.
Councilmember Wells?
Here.
Councilmember Akeley?
Here.
Councilmember Lindsay?
Here.
Mayor Stos?
Here. Thank you. Mr. Stewart, are there any late changes to the agenda?
No late changes, Mr. Mayor.
Great. Thank you very much. Next, we will move into deliberation and selection of council member position number 7.
I'm sorry, Mayor. I just wanted, so either I can start the process off or you can.
Go ahead, Mr. Stewart. Yep.
Happy to do so. Thank you, Mayor, members of the council and the community. Just as a reminder, we are first going to be discussing city council position number 7. This is a position that was vacated and is due for council to make a determination by the first of this coming month of August 1. That's the statutory requirement for when it must be filled. The process before you this evening is to move straight into deliberation and action. We will not be moving into an executive session, and there will be no further interviews. So with that, unless you have any questions about the process, I would turn it over back over to you, Mayor, for deliberation.
Great. Yeah, thank you. I have no questions.
Okay.
Council, this is your opportunity to talk about who your choice potentially could be for this position. So. Anyone?
You want me to start?
Sure, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go.
You want me to start down here? Down here at the other end? I think we're fortunate that we have three candidates that are spectacular. I think they'll all do well, and I think they all are appraised and know what's going on in the city because they keep themselves informed, and I think that they'll do a great job.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Next?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't get my red light to come on. There we go. I agree with Mr. Onslow. All three of them are well qualified. They've been citizens of the community for a number of years. A couple of them are working on the Parks Board, and one of them on the Parks Board, one on the Planning Commission, and another one involved in the community for a number of years. So it's going to really be tough to decide who takes which position, the first one or the second one. So that's all I've got to say.
Okay. Thank you. Councilor Akeley.
Yes, I echo the comments that have been previously talked about the candidates. I see all three of them around town in different events, and I'm really excited that we have three good candidates to choose from.
Thank you.
Okay, so I thought we were actually going to talk about who we think we should select.
You can.
I can. Okay, and then possibly deliberate that amongst ourselves. Is that still the idea?
No, actually, no. We would do a ballot vote.
Okay.
So but you're more than welcome to echo the name or names of the persons that you feel are most qualified.
Okay. Well, I want to thank the applicants for being with us this evening. You represent a talented and dedicated group of citizens, and I look forward to working with all of you in the future, either as council members or in some other capacity representing Ridgefield. I think it's safe to say that you are all passionate about Ridgefield and want to do your part to help the city be the best version of itself. So I hope that even if you are not chosen this evening, you keep that positive energy for Ridgefield going and engage in other ways within our community. We are extremely fortunate to have three equally capable and high quality candidates. Making a single recommendation for position 7 is a difficult choice, but having too many good choices is a good problem to have. Although you represent a diverse array of experiences, all of you have excellent backgrounds that would make you qualified to be a city councilor. Do you want me to make a recommendation, or do you want to just go to paper ballots?
We can go to a paper ballot if you're completed with your statement.
I'm fine.
Okay, great. I echo the same as the rest of the council members. We have three excellent candidates. We have candidates that have already been involved in the city. I know Judy Chipman has been a part of the Planning Commission, and I hear from a lot of citizens in Ridgefield that the Planning Commission is a great way to start. If you, a great balance, a place to learn about how the city works, how we make plans to make our city better. And I know that Judy has done a great job with that for the past several years and is very qualified. So equally as qualified, of course, is Rachel. Rachel has been on the Parks Board now for quite some time and has learned a great deal there as well. And of course, Bambi, you've been involved in this community a heck of a lot longer than a lot of us sitting in this room. And so you've been invested in this process, and so all three are equally as qualified as well. So with that, Mr. Stewart, could you please pass a ballot out to each council member?
All right, Mayor. So Mayor and Council, I have these white cards here. I'll pass one out to each of you. Please put your name on the card and then your choice for position number 7 only.
Okay.
Just so you know, these are not secret ballots. They are open to the public, but we vote by ballot, and then we'll go from there.
And just as a reminder, and council knows this, but for anybody who wishes, this vote will be in the minutes for this meeting, just as the votes from the last meeting are in this are in the minutes that were approved this evening from council.
Okay.
Will be approved. So you have 5, you have 1 there, and you have 4 for that. So, Mayor, you've received the ballots. You have the city clerk has tabulated them. I have taken a look at them as well. They are in your hands. It is up to you to announce who has been appointed. And then once they're once you announce the appointee, we will move directly into swearing in that appointee and having them join you for the deliberation and action on the next item.
Great. Thank you very much. So the candidate that has been chosen for City Council position number 7 is Judy Chipman. So, Judy, if you'd like to come forward, City Clerk Ms. Julie Ferris will issue the oath of office, and then you can join us up here in the dais.
I will support the Constitution of the United States. And I will support the Constitution of the United States. And I will support the Constitution of the United States.
So Mayor, as Councilor Chipman arrives at the dais, first of all, welcome, Councilor. Secondly, that then brings us to our next order of business, if you would like me to proceed with that.
Please.
So as you are now seated with six council members, as is prescribed by state law, when you have more than one vacancy in a council, one vacancy must be appointed at a time. The first seat must be filled. That person must be sworn in. Then that person now participates in the selection of the other vacancies. So you now have six seated council members that will be deliberating and acting upon position number two. Which was vacated with a due date for the appointment being September 1, but it was the will of the council to move forward with both of these appointments in succession. So before you, you have finalists. We are moving directly back into deliberation and action, and I leave that to you and have more pieces of paper when you need them. Yes, sir.
Steve, Mr. Stewart, I have a question. Could you please explain to the public that the candidates that have reviewed each other's applications, so they are qualified to select the, you know what I'm saying?
Of course, Counselor. So, and we did this prior to the other action. We did not do it prior to the other meeting before because we thought there would be multiple meetings that we would be deciding this. But when we, when staff knew that we were going to be doing two positions in a single evening, staff then provided the three finalists with the application packets, a link to the interviews, the council packets for the business before the council this evening, as well as the council agenda for this evening, so that all of the finalists have the information necessary to be able to adequately act as counselors in this selection process, as well as the business that we have coming before us as well. We also did let those finalists know that as we get into the business of the council, if there are items that are such that have been discussed for a number of months and there's a lot behind it, and that those new counselors do not feel comfortable or confident in taking a vote on that this evening, they're not required to. They can simply abstain.
Thank you.
Of course.
Great. Thank you very much. So we'll move on to the deliberation selection of position number two. Again, Council, if you have any comments that you would like to make on a specific candidate or either the other two candidates, this is the time. Councilor Onslow, anything to say?
Good.
Okay. Councilor Wells?
Let's move.
No comments.
No comments? Councilor Chipman, you good to go? Okay. Mr. Stewart, we would like the ballots, please.
Position two.
Position two. Again, name, which position, and the candidate that you are selecting. Well, the position we can write on to.
Yeah.
And that'll go in the minutes as well. City clerk is tallying.
Okay.
To you, sir.
Okay. All right. And the candidate that was chosen for council member for the city of Ridgefield, position number two, is Rachel Coker.
I, Rachel Coker, do solemnly swear.
Old fogies.
Rachel, congratulations. Welcome to the Ridgeville City Council. Next, we'll move on to public comment. Public comment. Anyone wishing to address the City Council regarding items not subject to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use the raise your hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your Zoom screen. For controls over the phone, press star 9 for the raise your hand and press star 6 to mute or unmute your system. Please state your name and limit your comments to 3 minutes, and there will be no back and forth between public comment and the council.
Mr. Mayor, could I please make my statement first?
Yes, sir, you can.
Sorry, Judy. Following the last council meeting on the 8th of July, there was some activity by our mayor, Don Stoss. As a result of, in my opinion, egregious activity regarding several council persons and a duly appointed person to the City Council, a variety of results and opinions have arisen. One of those results was the person's rescinding his appointment to the council. I won't go into this, but wish to put it into the record, my statement to the overall outcome. Number one, I voted for Mr. Clyde Burkle as I believe he would bring expertise to the council on big business. I'm saddened that he chose to step back. Number two, I am the past mayor and did not bring any of this activity forward. There have been several admonitions, emails about my actions, and they were not my actions because I am not the mayor. The mayor at this time is Mr. Stoss, and the activity you may agree or disagree with has been of his own volition. And I love quotes, and I'm going to give you a quote that I came across a while ago, and I really like it. The things that matter the most should never be more important than those that matter the least. And thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. Now you're up.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Judith Creel. I'm a resident of the city of Ridgefield. I sent a letter to Mr. Stewart, to this council, and to the mayor on July 19th on the subject of the selection of Mr. Burkle and the actions that happened afterwards. I'm not going to read that letter. I'm going to summarize it and make a few comments. The letter identified several rumors in the city. I don't know if they're true. It included an allegation that the mayor believed that three city council members violated the Open Public Meeting Acts in deciding to appoint Mr. Burkle. I understand that council members deny the allegation. More troubling, at least to me, are rumors that the mayor called each of the three councilors to accuse them of violating the act and even perhaps to demand that at least one of them vote to rescind their vote for Mr. Burkle or else he would face some sort of formal charges. Lastly, it is rumored that the mayor actually went to Mr. Burkle and said that he was illegally appointed, that unless Mr. Burkle refused the appointment, the mayor again would file some sort of action alleging an illegal appointment, and that Mr. Burkle would be shamed in newspaper coverage. Mr. Burkle, in fact, did reject the appointment. These rumors, these allegations, are deeply troubling. If true, this is not how our government should be run. I ask that the members of this body place on the next meeting's agenda a motion to appoint someone to investigate what happened before and after Mr. Burkle's appointment, and that you appoint someone not beholden to the city or affiliated with the city so that we know we get a fair investigation. I believe the three councilors who voted for Mr. Burkle deserve an opportunity to clear their name, and if I were the mayor, I would demand a public investigation. The charges, the allegations, and I hope they're not true, of bullying and thwarting the democratic process, acting as judge and jury, by making threats is extremely disturbing. And I would think that the mayor would publicly demand an investigation so that he could clear his name. I do not know Mr. Burkle. In fact, we had an argument on Next Door and we came close to calling each other names. But I do know that he served on the Civil Service Commission, the Salary Commission, and the Budget Review Board. If any of the rumors about threats to him of a public shaming are true, he deserves an apology from the city. He deserves better, so do we, and we deserve a full accounting of what happened. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak to the council? Anyone else wishing to speak to the council at this time? I don't see anyone on the internet looking to, I don't see a raise your hand. So with that, we'll move on. We'll move on to the consent agenda. I would accept a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda as published.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the consent agenda as presented. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Council. We'll move on to the first order of business. A motion approval of Crossing Phase 3 final plat. Ms. Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, as well as members of the public. This evening, staff is bringing before you a final plat for the Crossing Phase 3. Julie, can you please move forward? All right, the Ridgefield Hearing Examiner approved the Ridgefield Crossing Mixed-Use Master Plan and Preliminary Subdivision Plat on July 27th, 2018. Ridgefield Crossing includes three residential phases with a total of 133 single-family attached lots. The subject final plat, the Crossing Phase 3, was formerly known as Ridgefield Crossing Phase A. Next slide, please. This is just zoomed in to the crossing, showing Ridgefield Crossing, or the Crossing Phase 3, in the southwest corner of the project area. Next. And this is a more detailed plan, the master plan for Ridgefield Crossing, showing both the commercial and residential areas with, again, Phase 3 outlined there in the southwest corner of the project area. All right, the applicant proposes for Phase 3 to subdivide the 4.4-acre site into 45 single-family attached or townhouse residential lots. The lots range from 1,759 square feet to 4,259 square feet, consistent with the lot sizes approved through the Ridgefield Crossing Mixed-Use Master Plan and Preliminary Subdivision Plat. The average lot size for these attached townhomes is 2,414 square feet, and the townhomes are to be grouped in sets of 2, 3, or 4 units. The site is accessed from South 5th Street at New South 66th Place, and internal public streets provide access to each of the lots in the phase. Phase 3 also contains 3 shared parking areas with 12 total off-street parking spaces to be owned and maintained by the HOA. Has a storm facility with access to be owned and maintained by the HOA. The easement for access and inspection is granted to the city, as well as private storm easements to be maintained, some by the HOA, some by individual lot owners, again with access and inspection easements to the city.
Claire, I had a question on this picture. On the tract E, it has a parking space too, right? I went out there today and was looking at it. It was on your picture, it says parking there. So is there 4 parking spots? And my question was, how many cars could you get in those spots?
That's correct. There are 4 parking spots. The total number of cars... 12.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next slide. This slide shows the open space areas in Phase 3 of the crossing. These are to be owned and maintained by the HOA. No park improvements are planned. And then there's a large wetland complex to the east of the project area as well.
Claire, can I ask a quick question?
Correct.
When the crossing first came to us, there we had a pretty good discussion about how the trail network was going to be integrated into this project. Can you elaborate on how the trails are integrated into this phase or if they
sure.
are or not?
So the trail network for Ridgefield Crossing, both the commercial and residential phases, is a combination of trails and sidewalks. Julie, if you show the next slide, I believe that's the overall. So highlighted in green are the trails, and then the gaps between the green trails are sidewalk connections in the trail system. If you look at Phase 3, You'll see at the end of the cul-de-sac, there's actually going to be a secondary access there that goes north into the commercial phase and hooks up with that trail to the north shown in the commercial phase.
Could you tell me what is across the street to the west?
To the west?
Is that all going to be commercial?
The site across the street to the west has gone through pre-application for a commercial development, mixed commercial, including retail and a hotel. That project has not come in for a formal land use review yet.
Okay, but it is commercial.
It is a commercially zoned property, yes.
And is there going to be some type of a trail that runs at the bottom of this across? I know that's wetland, but...
Across the bottom, the connection is sidewalk. That wetland is a high-quality protected wetland that is not meant to handle trails.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, with that, Julie, can you move along? Thank you. Just leaving the plat image up there for your consideration. Survey review was completed for the final plat. All comments were addressed as of July 13th of this year. Engineering review, all private improvements on site are complete. A bond for 120% of the cost of all incomplete public improvements is required for final plats. The applicant submitted a cost estimate for remaining public improvements totaling $68,421. The city engineer issued a performance bond letter on June 30th, identifying a bond amount of $82,105.20, and the applicant has submitted the performance bond to the city. Staff finds that all other engineering conditions of approval and engineering comments have been addressed. For land use, the city attorney reviewed the HOA CCNRs for phase three and approved them on June 30th. In your staff report, you'll note two land use conditions of approval relating to minor edits on the face of the plat. These have been addressed by the applicant. So with that, staff recommends city council approve the Crossing phase three final plat subject to the standard procedural conditions of approval listed in the staff report. Happy to take any more questions.
Thank you. Council, any further questions for Ms. Lust? Seeing none, I would accept a motion.
This is Rob Akeley. I'd like to make a motion to approve the Crossing phase three final plat subject to the conditions that are listed in the staff report.
This is Councilor Lindsay. I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve of the Crossing phase three final plat. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Council. Next order of business is resolution number 597, a statement of legislative intent, the Ridgefield Roundabout Grapes. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and the community. Before you is a resolution adopting a formal statement of legislative intent to memorialize the purpose for the 56th and 65th Roundabout Grapes and the policies and processes for the use of those Roundabout Grapes. Just as a little bit of background, in late 2014, then Mayor Onslow had conversations with a local winemaker, Gary Gouget, about the possibility of converting the scrubby vegetation in the 56th and 65th roundabouts to wine grapes. At the time, there was limited vegetation in the roundabouts, and weed control was a concern for our staff as well as for council and keeping that looking good. In addition, the thought was using the roundabouts to help promote the local wine region, as Ridgefield had and has seven wineries in and around the city limits. In March of 2015, city staff gave a presentation to the city council about the due diligence underway for the possibility of planting and harvesting those grapes in the roundabouts. There was a lot of work that went into that, a lot of work by council, by volunteers, by staff to determine the type, and by Mr. Gouget to determine the types of grapes that would go in it, how we were going to do it, how it was going to be maintained, all of that. And then a lot of the work to actually plant those was done by council as well as with volunteers, the vast majority of it. So fast forwarding just a little bit, Council gave that direction for us to proceed with the planting, but at the time, council gave us no specific direction that we had within any resolution for what to do with the grapes. So the direction we had was simply come back to you when we reached a harvestable age, because the reality was it was going to be 2-3 years before it was a harvestable age for the grapes. So then we fast forward past several seasons of pruning and trimming and helping them grow, and they've done very well. Thank you very much. We now move into 2016. Planting and preparation occurred. There was the planting, 2018. We fast forward to that where the first harvest of the grapes occurred. City staff contracted for a chemical analysis of the grapes, as was the will of the council. When we first talked about the project, there were concerns raised about would there be any sort of toxicity in the grapes because they're in a roundabout where there's a bunch of cars going around them. So we actually submitted them to a chemical analysis, and they came back clean. The chemical analysis showed that there were no heavy metals, there was no other chemical composition that would indicate that there was any toxicity in those grapes. Once that was done, council then gave approval to move forward with the harvest that would be produced, which wine would be produced by Gouget Cellars. City staff proceeded to draft a vendor agreement with Gouget Cellars, which was ultimately signed in September of 2020. The volunteers picked the grapes. Gouget began the process of turning those grapes into wine. And in 2020, the first vintage of Ridgefield Roundabout Red was bottled. That Ridgefield Roundabout Red has been used as gifts. It has been used as promotions. It has been used for staff, not staff like sitting at our desk, but for staff gifts. So, and the purpose of that being very clear, that the Roundabout Red could not be used for any commercial purposes. That was something that WashDOT made abundantly clear early on in the process, that the grapes may not be used in any way, shape, or form to create revenue. That meant either primarily or secondarily, meaning we can't give the bottles of wine to somebody who then sells the bottle of wines, puts them in a basket, then auctions them off, then revenue is being raised from them. So we've been very clear about those uses so that we stay in lockstep with what WashDOT had demanded when we originally asked them whether we could put grapes in the roundabouts, which are on state property. Fast forward to March of 2021. Council formally directed city staff, after a presentation on much of what we just discussed, to return to council for clear, specific direction on the purpose and processes associated with any further use of the roundabout grapes, which now brings us to the statement of legislative intent, which is in your packet. The statement of legislative intent is exactly that. It is a statement of your intent for what you would like to see from staff in managing the Ridgefield roundabout grapes. So that, there we go, sorry. Just using my thumbs. All right, so the statement of legislative intent is referenced in the resolution before you. The statement of legislative intent is brought for adoption by this council to provide specific direction to city staff on managing future work plan items associated with the 56th and 65th roundabout vegetation. The City Council may change aspects of this statement of legislative intent. Very importantly, this is your intent. So this is something that can come back for further review to Council for you to change what your intent is. And you also retain legislative responsibility to authorize all contracts and budget necessary to implement this statement of legislative intent. Within the document itself, the first section of that is the purpose. What we have drafted, and forgive me for editorializing just for a second, is what I'm seeking in this is, this is your statement of legislative intent. If there is verbiage that does not capture your actual intent, we would like to see those words changed so that they do. I also am cognizant of time in that within about a month, we're going to be at harvest time for grapes, and if we are to bring back to you vendor agreement, you know, potential vendor agreements in a timely fashion before grapes are harvested, we need to get going on this. So that's my editorial. The purpose that we had drafted is that the roundabout grapes were planted as and will continue to be a reminder of and testament to the vibrant winemaking community in and around Ridgefield. Regarding uses, there are three bullets. The first one, the roundabout grapes are only to be made available for non-commercial uses. For the purposes of this statement of legislative intent, non-commercial includes only use as gifts or giveaways allowed by state law and with no pecuniary remuneration of any kind. And it says any kin, it should say kind, either directly or indirectly. Second bullet, through a city council approved contract defined below in this SLI, the roundabout grapes may be processed by a public or private partner of the city in order to create any of the following as agreed to by the city council. Wine, either with alcohol or non-alcoholic, jelly, jam, grape juice, barbecue sauce, glaze, salad dressing, or raisins. There is no magic in this list. This is a list that we Googled of what can you do with wine grapes. So you tell me if there's other things that we didn't think of or things that you don't want on the list. Third, the roundabout grapes and all products associated with those grapes are the sole property of the city of Ridgefield, and no private benefit may be conferred. That includes use, marketing, name rights, and all other aspects of the products. Do you want me to stop at each section, or do you want me to just
continue.
Go? I'm going to just go.
Keep going.
All right. Almost there. Vendor agreement. Prior to harvest of the roundabout grapes in a calendar year, city staff is directed to work with potential vendors to establish options for processing the grapes. City Council shall decide which vendor to work with and direct city staff to draft a vendor agreement, which ultimately shall be brought to City Council for review and approval. The vendor agreement shall clearly identify the public's ownership of the roundabout grapes and all associated aspects of the products created. Ongoing maintenance is the last item on the statement of legislative intent. Though the roundabout grapes were primarily planted by and maintained by volunteers, it is the expectation of City Council that city staff will also participate in the ongoing maintenance of the roundabout grapes to assure they remain healthy. It is further noted that volunteers helping city staff with the ongoing maintenance of the roundabout grapes will work under the supervision of city staff and follow all safety and liability protocols that keep both volunteers and the city safe. And that is the statement of legislative intent that we have before you. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have or work to amend language as you see fit.
Okay, thank you very much. Council, questions or comments?
I had a question that just popped into my head. One, I think this is, you guys did a really nice job of creating flexibility in this statement. I appreciate that, and a really good job of, I think you did hit every single type of grape or product that there is out there, so kudos to you on that. Labeling of the product. I did not notice, I noticed, you know, the marketing, but under use, but how do we determine how we label the product?
So in the vendor agreement, it specifically, I thought I specifically had labels in there. Hold on 1 second, and I'll look for that real quick here. And if I didn't, that is an oversight on my part.
Would it be in the vendor agreement section?
It would be. The vendor agreement shall clearly identify the public's ownership of the roundabout grapes and all associated aspects of the products created. I also do have the third bullet under use actually talks about that no private benefit may be conferred. That includes use, marketing, name rights, and all other aspects of the products.
I guess I'm more curious about the process to get to the artwork on the label.
Right. So I would say that I can either put it, we could either put it into the use sentence where it says that includes use, labeling, marketing. I mean, we could put labels in there, and or we could put them in the vendor agreement as well. We could put it in both.
Okay.
If that is the will of the council, we certainly can, that's an easy amendment.
Any other questions or comments? I would accept a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve resolution number 597 as presented.
This is Rob Akeley, I second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution number 597 as presented. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Council.
And all of those people out there, we're going to be trimming grapes next week, so be sure to sign up with me.
As a volunteer.
And Mayor, may I clarify something really quickly?
Yes.
So as presented, I added to the presentation the addition of the of labels as verbiage within that. Is that what you intended in within your motion?
Yes.
Okay. We will make sure that that occurs.
Great. Thank you very much. Sir. Moving on to business item number 3, a resolution number 596, authorization to submit a ballot measure for a 0.2% sales tax to the voters. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor, Council, and concerned citizens. So just a little bit of background on the Ridgefield Transportation Benefit District. It was originally adopted by Council in 2008 as its own separate legal entity. And what it was adopted for was to put funding towards getting the overpass in around I-5 at the junction. In 2012, that project was complete, so the funding mechanism was set to repeal at that time, which was a 0.2% sales tax. Since that time, up until 2018, the Transportation Benefit District was there, but it had no funding source. In 2018, Council made a system of separate decisions, first to legally bring in and assume the rights and powers of the Transportation Benefit District, so it was part of the city. Action could be taken by Council at a regular Council meeting rather than having to be done at a separate meeting for a separate legal entity. And then at that same time, they also adopted a funding source of a $20 vehicle licensing fee. So this particular resolution that we're looking at is in companion with the next two agenda items. So I want to make clear that all three of these are really going to be interconnected. And what we're looking at is funding for pavement preservation. One of the things that's come out on our, when we survey citizens, has been conditions of the roads and concerns that we maintain them to the level that people expect. And what we've done is our Public Works Department has a software program where they go out and they measure and they look at the condition of the roadways. Developers put in new roadways for us as they're putting in new developments. The city is responsible for taking care of existing roadways and maintaining them. And so the software program that we do have looks at over a period of time what's going to be the cost and what should be done. And we have discussed that at multiple different meetings in the past that either Mr. Williams or Tech for Engineering or Mr. Cast has kind of explained the process there. Bottom line, what we've looked at with that program is what is the financial aspect to making sure we're maintaining our roads at the current condition, and then the ones that are deteriorating, we're getting those repaired. So with that, what we've come through is on a 10-year basis, we've kind of looked at a need for a minimum of $600,000 per year to do all the work that it takes to repair our roads and keep them at what we call as a 80 on the pavement condition index, which measures the health of the road, which is in a level of very good. And that's the goal that Council has kind of set forth for us. So with that, we've kind of looked at different options. The $20 fee is there. That, along with an amount that we're putting from the general fund as participation into that, does not cover that $600,000. And the $600,000 as a minimum amount also does not cover deferred maintenance for roads that have deteriorated to the point where we do have to do either a full reconstruction or something that's a little bit more expensive. So with that, Council told staff to go ahead and look at the options, and they gave us, as we came back to them with multiple options, they gave us two items that they want us to look at. One is what's before you right now, which is taking a ballot to the voters and asking the voters to look at a 0.2% increase in the sales tax within the Ridgefield city limits. What that would do is bring our sales tax in the city from 8.4% to 8.6%. That increase could only be used on pavement preservation. We can't use it for parks. We can't use it for anything else. It can only be for pavement preservation. The other one we'll talk about here in a little bit, but those are the two items. What we're really looking at is we need a funding source to make sure that we keep our roads as we've heard the citizens really want to see. So with that, we have a deadline of August 3rd to turn in a ballot measure that our attorney has prepared, and then that will go on the ballot November 2nd or 3rd? November 2nd of this year, it would go to the voters in the general election to vote whether or not they want to enact the sales tax. If that is adopted by the voters, then 180 days later, then it would go into place where the sales tax would start to be collected for that, and they're remitted to us. Typically, it's the 180 days, so that's 6 months, and then 2 months later, we begin to receive the funding. So with that, that's really the action that we have right now. What we've looked at in your packet, you do have a comparison of the 0.2% sales tax in comparison to the $30 fee that we'll talk about here in a little bit. And what it shows is a relatively close match in some years, but the sales tax actually will get us the funding not only to maintain the roads at that 80 PCI, but it also will help us pay down the deferred maintenance and roads. I'm going to use Royal Road as one, although we do have some other funding sources potentially for that. That's a good kind of comparison of what citizens have mentioned of deteriorating roads. And then Fifth, if you've been over on the east side going through the commercial area, it allows us to start putting funding towards that and use that also as a match for getting either state or federal grants as well.
Mr. Johnson, could you quickly elaborate on, I know it's not up on the screen, but in our packet, the two columns, you've got the sales tax column and then the $30 fee estimate. Could you kind of elaborate on why there's such a discrepancy between the two for the first, like, 7-8 years?
Well, the first part, in the first year, the sales tax, we would only get it for about a half of a year. The $30 fee, if enacted later by council, we would get for close to the full year, be 10 months of the year because of that 180 day period. The sales tax is based on what the forecast is for taxable retail sales within the city of Ridgefield. And we're looking at next year, approximately $450 million. The benefit of the sales tax is that you have regular retail sales that are things like going to the grocery store and your paper towels and toilet paper and things like that. And then there's also construction-related sales tax. One of the items we get questions on is, well, developers are coming in, they're building things, why aren't they repairing the roads? Legally, they can't. We can't make them repair existing roads. They're legally responsible to put in new roads. So with this, the sales tax, different from the vehicle licensing fee, is the sales tax captures everything. So all of the materials, building materials, the work that they're doing to build these developments, all of that's taxed as well. So in this case, we're getting, not only the residents are paying for the pavement preservation funding, but anybody who comes from outside of Ridgefield and shops within the city limits and our developers are also paying for this. So that's the beauty of this particular request here. Right, and the difference why the $30 catches up is we've also worked with Department of Licensing to forecast how many vehicles are going to be in the city. Based on the population increase and the amount of cars per household, that increases a little bit faster than the taxable retail sales because we will start to see a reduction in a construction-related sales tax over time. So those two are going to catch up a little bit. The other thing with the sales tax is it only looks at what we have currently. It's not looking at anything that may come in the future. So if we have other retail that comes over the next few years that we haven't had come in and they're in some form of pre-application, land use, construction. We can't capture that because we don't know for sure if they're coming. Whereas the vehicles, we have a pretty good forecast because we know how many buildable lots there are, the multifamily that's going in, so we can pretty well project that working with Department of Licensing to figure out how many vehicles will be in the city that would be subject to that. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
And so if there's any other questions for the sales tax portion of this, otherwise if council would like to adopt and send this to the voters to weigh in on this particular option, they could move to adopt Resolution 596 as presented.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Council, any further questions for Mr. Johnson? Seeing none, I would accept the motion.
I'm sure everybody wants to make a motion on to increase the sales tax, but I would move to approve Resolution number 596.
This is Rob Akeley. I second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt Resolution number 596 as presented. All in favor signify
by
saying
just,
aye.
Just a second. I would like to speak in favor of it.
Okay.
The reason that I agree with this, it would eliminate, and you'll see later, the license tabs, which will go up to $30. And the other thing is that any friends, enemies, whatever, that drive into Ridgefield and buy something, they are helping pay for our roads. So, and with that, that's why I would like to vote for this.
Very good. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Council. Next, we'll move on a motion to appoint for and against committee for ballot measure. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor. So again, in companion with the previous resolution that was just adopted, when we turn in the ballot measure to the county elections office, council is requested to appoint committees both for the ballot measure and against the ballot measure. If council does not adopt or appoint committee members, and it could be anywhere from one to three people on each committee, then the county would be actually the one that would be choosing who's going to be on those committees. So council has names that they would like to put both for and against. Both of those committees will prepare statements and they will turn it into the elections office. Again, the deadline is August 3rd to turn in the committee members, and then by August 13, they have to turn in the statements both for and against, and that will be published in the voters' pamphlet. And then there's an additional 5 days for a rebuttal on each of those statements from the different committees. So that's what we're looking at tonight. Council does have the names, so the motions would be in separate motions, please. Motion to approve the name of the appointees to the for committee and then also the against committee.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Council, do you have any questions for Mr. Johnson? Seeing none, I would accept a motion.
I want to make a motion, but I want to make a statement first. I believe that this sales tax will help lower income folks here, because when you get your bill in the mail for car taps, let's say you got two cars and you got that extra $20, it's going up to $30. That's $60 and a month. And for some families, that means they're going to have to cut back on several things. And I think by spreading the load of on the sales tax with all the citizens, it would be good. But I would like to make a motion to approve three appointees for the four committee. And those appointees are Ridgefield citizens, Clyde Burkle, Gene McCann, and Mike McCamish.
This is Councilor Lindsay. I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to appoint for the ballot measure Mr. Clyde Burkle, Mr. Gene McCann, and Mr. Mike McCamish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Council. And thank you to those citizens that are going to be on this committee.
Okay, I would now like to make a motion to approve the against committee. And those names are Mike Laurie. He has the Fin and Feather Gun Shop in town. And Kathy Hughes with the Ridgefield Hardware Store. And Doug Wakefield with Taylor Trucking.
Rachel Coker, I second.
Okay, thank you very much.
Trucking?
Taylor Trucking.
No.
Gordon. Oh, Gordon. Yeah. Gordon. I had the wrong name. Sorry. Yeah. Gordon Trucking.
Gordon Trucking. Okay, great. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to appoint three businesses for the against motion for this sales tax increase, and that would be Mike Lowry from Fin and Feather, Kathy Hughes from Hardware Store, and Doug Wakefield from Gordon Trucking. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Council.
Mr. Mayor, before we go into the next item, just to, as a point of clarification, the people that you just appointed for the against committee are individuals, not the businesses they represent. Just to be clear, is that the state law, we do have to have individuals. Certainly they are business people within the community. I don't want to diminish that. I just want to make sure we're clear about that. And we will reach out to all six of those individuals and make sure that they have all the information they need to do their jobs.
Great. Thank you very much. Next, we'll move on to a public hearing. A public hearing and first reading of ordinance number 1346. Increase the vehicle licensing fee to fund the construction, preservation, and maintenance of transportation improvements in the city of Ridgefield. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor. And this is the third of the companion items that we've brought to council tonight. So this is a public hearing on with an ordinance to request the funding increase of the vehicle licensing fee from $20 to $30. These two options that council directed us to look at, both will cover the needs of the funding needs, I should say, of the pavement preservation program. The option here, when you approve a $20 vehicle licensing fee by state law, you have to wait at least 24 months before you can consider increasing that fee. We have met that time frame. That was in June of this year. With council addressing this, the intent that council has stated is if the ballot measure is approved to adopt the sales tax, once we begin to receive the sales tax funding, then they would intend to repeal the vehicle licensing fee. So that gives the voters the decision to decide sales tax or the licensing fee, because the licensing fee will already be in place. So that's what we're doing to make sure that we get that funding available for the pavement preservation. With the vehicle licensing fee, again, it takes 180 days, so 6 months from adoption. So if adopted tonight, we are asking to waive second reading and make a motion tonight. If adopted, then I would send this to the Department of Licensing. It takes them 180 days to change and put the fee in place. So we estimate about the middle of February to the end of February that they would begin to collect the new fee, and then we would start to see that the following month. With that, if there's any questions, I do have in your packet, Council, a comparison of the $20 to the $30 fee to see the differences. But if you have questions, as we've already kind of gone over this, I'd be happy to answer those. If you would like to approve this, a motion would be I move to waive second reading and adopt ordinance 1346 as presented.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Council, questions for Mr. Johnson?
Yes, I've got a question. Kirk, you said that it would be 6 months before the 0.2% kicks in. So for a scenario, for whoever licensed their vehicles up to the 1st of July would be paying the $30 tab tax. Anybody after the 1st of July would not have that tab tax on if that...
Well, let me clarify a little bit. It might not be July because when we send the repeal to the Department of Licensing, again, it takes them 6 months to stop doing that. So there's a couple of different options that council could consider at that point, is if the ballot measure is approved in November, and then we get through the referendum period, which roughly middle of December, I think, at that point, council could do action then, so we could roughly time them to, you know, one stop and one start roughly at the same time. If we completed and waited clear until July, when the sales tax did kick in and we started to see it, there's still another 6 months before the TAB fee or the vehicle licensing fee stops. So we would probably want to look at those options and take direction from council.
Then on the ballot itself, is it going to be clear to the voters that if the sales tax kicks in or they pass the sales tax, that the TAB fee is going to go away?
It mentions in the ballot measure the intent. We can't guarantee, because state law doesn't allow you to put two items in one ballot measure, but it does say the intent of council is to repeal. And that's what we will have a website, a fact sheet to provide facts. We can't advocate one way or the other, but we can provide the facts, and that's what we understand the intent of council to be.
Thank you.
That seems totally unfair.
Council, any further questions for Mr. Johnson? Seeing
this,
none.
This is Rob Akeley. I move to waive sec.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not yet. Oh, we've got to go through the public hearing.
Oh.
Okay, with that, I'm going to open this public hearing. It is now time for a public hearing. If you have signed up with the city clerk prior to the meeting to address the city council, your name will be called and the city clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone or come forward to the podium. If you have not provided notice in advance to speak during this public hearing, please use the raise your hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you wish to make a comment, the city clerk will send you permission to unmute your microphone. For the controls over the phone, press star 9. For the raise your hand, and press star 6 to mute or unmute. As in a live meeting, please state your name and limit your comments to 3 minutes. There will be no back and forth or interaction between the speaker and the council. So with that, the public hearing is open. Is there anyone wishing to speak to the council at this public hearing? Is there anyone?
Don't laugh at me. Sandy Schill, 1195 North First Avenue, Ridgefield. So I was under the understanding that the tax, I'm in favor of the tax because I think it evenly represents everybody living here using the road. I heard the intent to remove the car tabs was an intent as if it was solid, and tonight I hear it's, we could all change our underwear and the intent would go away. So I'm gonna watch real closely, and I'm going to expect that that intent takes that car tab away, because that car tab was kind of a temporary fix in my understanding to begin with, and I think for the 6 or 7% of the people who don't register their cars in the state of Washington that live here in Ridgefield, they're not paying their fair share. So that's why I support the tax, but I do not support the car tab increase. I understood the initial $20, but I do not support the $20 remaining, nor do I support the $20 being raised. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak to the council at this public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak to the council at this public hearing? I see no one on the Zoom, so this public hearing is closed. Ms. Julie, could you read the ordinance into the record, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Ordinance number 1346, ordinance of the City of Ridgefield, Washington, authorizing a vehicle license fee increase to fund the Ridgefield Transportation Benefit District.
I would accept a motion.
This is Rob Akeley. I move to waive second reading and adopt ordinance number 1346 as presented.
This is Jennifer Lindsay. I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to waive second reading and adopt ordinance number 1346 as presented. All in favor signify by, that'll be a voice vote. Thank you.
Councilmember Onslow?
Aye.
Councilmember Coker?
Aye.
Councilmember Wells?
Aye.
Councilmember Akeley?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindsay?
Aye.
Councilmember Chipman?
Aye.
Mayor Stos?
Aye. Thank you very much. Next, we'll move on to public comment. Anyone wishing to address the City Council regarding items not subject to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time to the podium or use the raise your hand feature located on the toolbar at the bottom of your Zoom screen. For controls over the phone, press star 9 for the raise your hand feature and press star 6 to mute or unmute. Please state your name and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Anyone wishing to speak to the council at this time? Anyone wishing to speak to the council at this time? Seeing none, we will move on. Move on to council reports. Councilor Onslow.
Well, I wanted to say something in the public comment, but I think we owe Bambi hype of congrats and thank you very much for going through the filling out all the papers, going through the interviews, being one of the persons that's up here every time. Can't be a lot of fun, but I congratulate you. You do a lot in the city. And for one, I appreciate that very much, and I thank you for the work you've done. My report, we worked on the nature park on the weekend. That was a blast. And the kids took over, and they said they started pointing and directing, and pretty soon all the adults are saying, where do you want these logs, or where do you want this? And it was fabulous. And today I had a very interesting meeting with four individuals, and they are architects bidding on the Clark College campus. And they were curious about the city. And so it was a very interesting conversation with them. That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I would just like to start by saying thank you to the council for appointing me to this position. I'm very excited and proud, and thank you and congratulations also to Clyde and Bambi for making it through the process that we all went through. I also attended the volunteer of building the Nature Play area at Abrams Park this weekend, and I think it was really fantastic to see the community come out in all ages. I think we were 50-50 youth and adults. And to see them, you know, not only engage in the design, but then immediately start playing and using, you know, reaffirmed why we do what we do and what's important to us. And I really look forward to the youth in the community continuing to be engaged and growing up and being engaged adults in the community.
Great. Thank you very much. Councilor Wells.
The most important meeting I attended, well, was a briefing. But on Tuesday, I went to Clark Regional meeting, 7 o'clock breakfast meeting. No breakfast, but I had the meeting. it's a wake-up call. But anyway, I learned something there that when they put out a bid for contractors to turn around and bid for a project, and after they're awarded the bid, then if materials or product escalates in price, they can't come back with a change order and raise their bid price. They're stuck with what they bid. So what they need to actually do is, once they're awarded the bid, go buy the material and put it in a stockpile, unless they're willing to try and gamble and hope that it goes down. But like the price of lumber that's quadrupled in the last 6 months, it's coming back down again now. The only deviation they have for the contract is they can lengthen the days out if they have to have it done by September 1st, and weather permitting or inclement weather, they can turn around and switch it out to September the 30th or whatever that way. But they can't escalate the price. So that's something that I didn't know when it was being clarified.
Thank you very much. Councilor Eckley.
I attended the grand opening of our beautiful new library on the 9th. That was super. I attended a walkthrough of the Gee Creek Trail with the Watershed Alliance to review the plan to enhance the creek and the trail and the options to address the erosion caused by the creek flow of water. On the 15th, I attended the Ridgefield Main Street monthly meeting. Fundraising and upcoming events and supporting local businesses were some of the main topics spoke about. On the 16th, I attended the Ridgefield Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors meeting and gave a report on new business licenses in Ridgefield for the month of June. And I'd like to thank the staff for providing me with that report, because the chamber is reaching out to all those new businesses to see how they can help them. It's a monthly report they're going to give me, and I can take to the chamber to help businesses. So thank you, Claire, and your help. On the 19th, that was the most exciting event, was the working down at the Abrams Park with on the nature area. And my most relaxing event was Wednesday, Musicians in the Park. Down here, they got a guitarist. Every Wednesday for the next like 5 or 6 weeks, you should go down there at noon, bring a chair, grab a lunch, and enjoy yourself. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Lindsay.
Thank you. I also attended the ribbon cutting of our new library. It was a fantastic celebration, just to celebrate this great achievement that we now have for our community. I also am on the AWC Legislative Priorities Committee. There's 3 to 4 meetings over the summer, and it's a collection of councilors, mayors, and city managers from around the state of Washington. And our job is to set the legislative priorities that the AWC, which is the Association of Washington Cities, will then advocate for at the next legislative session. So that's what I did. Great.
Thank you very much. Councilor Chipman, do you want to chime in on this?
Well, I also attended the opening of the library, which was a beautiful event, and the Main Street Breakfast. But I think I'm going to have a hard time keeping up with you, Rob. I don't know. That was it for me. So maybe next time, be
great.
More.
Yep, thank you very much. Well, to have 500 people show up at a grand opening from the library, that's a huge event. And, you know, it's typical of Ridgefield citizens that support that project. But for me, the most important meeting that I attended was on the 15th, the Ridgefield Raptors had a baseball game at Rourke. And that game was dedicated to breast cancer survivors and patients.
Yes.
And during that game, and right after that game, the baseball players auctioned off their jerseys. Mm-hmm. And all the proceeds went to Pink Lemonade Project, which is near and dear to my heart. At that event, they raised $10,300 auctioning off those jerseys. And that will help women diagnosed with breast cancer navigate through their journey just a little bit better. And so thanks to the Raptors and everyone that attended and purchased those jerseys. And with that, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and the community. First of all, welcome to our two newest councilors. We're very much looking forward to working with you. And as staff, we will certainly spend as much time as necessary to make sure we do get you up speed and caught up to this guy over there. So thank you for that. And thank you very much to the other finalists and to those who participated in the process. We know it is a gauntlet, and we appreciate everybody going through it, because it makes everybody better. It makes the council better and the community better. So thank you for that. Secondly, just a couple of business notes. Sugar's Barbecue is open, finally. For those who may not have known why Sugar's Barbecue had not opened, is because they were having issues with L&I, with State Labor and Industries, and actually getting the certification necessary to open. And thanks to our legislator, specifically Representative Brandon Vick, he went to bat for them, went way above and beyond to really work with L&I and push them to get the certification necessary for Sugar's to open. So, great on him for his help. Representative Hoff helped as well, but we're glad to have them there. They are the first of several that are opening in the Carts by the Park, and it's wonderful to see other options for dining downtown. It just makes everybody better. Secondly, it was already mentioned, the G Creek Trail tour that we did with several of the council members, with staff, and with the Vancouver Watershed Alliance. We will be bringing back to you a potential budget associated with enhanced work, in-stream work in G Creek, to be able to help prevent any further damage to the stream bank that might further damage or might damage the new trail that we have down there. So we'll be bringing that back to you on a relatively short term. So we'll be working on that. Farm to table, since Ms. Nonneris is here, not here, I'll go through just a couple of the events. First of all, Farm to Table, August 21st, sold out. We then reopened. We opened it up and opened three new tables so that people have additional opportunities. So we're looking forward to a great event with 100% of the ticket proceeds going to benefit the Ridgefield High School Boosters Association for their senior night for 2022, because they weren't able to raise funds by selling fireworks as they usually would do. So happy to be working with them. They'll be providing the volunteers at the event. Should be a great event. If you don't have your tickets, there will be a few more that'll become available at the end of the day tomorrow. Last thing on the event side of it was already mentioned, Musicians in the Park. That will be every Wednesday, noon to 1, through the month of August. And then we have a couple of other events that I know other staff members will touch on as well. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor. I don't have any events to touch on, but I do want to say that we were notified yesterday that we received the GFOA Budget Presentation Award again for the fourth year in a row. And just for those of you here tonight, it needs to meet the criteria of a policy document, a financial plan, an operations guide, and then a communications device that really communicates out the priorities of the council for the budget for 2021. So I'm pleased to let you know that we got it. And that's it.
Good job, Mr. Johnson. Thank you. Ms. Lust.
Thank you. Something to look ahead to for council. The county is working on slash finishing up their vacant buildable lands model. That'll be the Clark County is working on the vacant buildable lands model. This will be the basis of Ridgefield's 8-yearly comprehensive plan update. So staff is in the process of getting information from that, and it's something that we'll be presenting to council here in the next few months. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Cast.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, council. To continue our pavement preservation theme of this evening, I wanted to let council know that our 2021 pavement preservation program is underway. We started with our own staff, led by Mr. Melroy here, doing some crack sealing up in Bellwood Heights in preparation for some chip sealing that will be going on Heron Drive and slurry seal through the neighborhood streets up in the Heron Ridge and Bellwood Heights neighborhoods. We also have a contractor that will be starting the next week or so on our Hillhurst pavement preservation project, where they will be doing repairs of severely damaged areas and then coming back and doing an overlay of Hillhurst, basically up the hill and all the way to Great Blue and a little bit beyond. With that, happy to answer any questions.
I have a question.
Yes.
What's your official title?
I have several, but mostly Public Works Director.
Okay. Then this one is directed at you. I would like you to inform your worker bees that they've been doing one heck of a job on the landscaping out around the overpass, trimming everything back. It looks, the other worker bee you've had there before had done a job, but you got a bigger crew out there and they're really making a difference. The other thing I've noticed is your more along the ditches in the city. They're making two or three passes and they're opening the ditches up on both sides the best they've ever looked.
All
so
right.
Pass it on.
I will do that. Thank you.
They missed the dirt.
That's Monday.
Thank you. Ms. Parker, I see that you're on the line.
I am on the line, but I don't have anything this evening to report, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Parker, for joining us again this evening. Appreciate it. And finally.
Thank you.
Chief Brooks.
Council, a couple of things to put on your radar screen. National Night Out is coming up in about 10 days, and it's going to be really great to have everybody together down in Abrams Park. We'll be having hot dogs down there, and it'll be a great event. And what's even better is I won't be singing this year. So there's that. I know. Pretty exciting stuff. We went through interviews for lateral police officer last week, and we will be starting the chief's interviews tomorrow. So that process is moving along. We have two very strong candidates. And probably the highlight was I, too, tried Sugar's Barbecue, and it makes me very happy that there is now smoked meats here available in Ridgefield.
Awesome.
Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chief. Great job. With that, we are adjourned.
When is National Night Out?